You're her father. You're our father. And she is not feeling very well. I think of the woman who had an issue of blood, and you healed her. And I know you're able, and I know you can. And we just ask for you to do it, that you'd heal her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get into the sermon. Let's turn to Malachi. Malachi, chapter 2. On this Father's Day, verse 14. God here is condemning the leadership, the priesthood of Israel. And he says, you ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as a witness. He had a, as they say, a beef with the priest and the prophets of Israel. And he says, why do you have this beef with us? You know what he said? It is because the Lord is acting as a witness. You know what a witness is? Whenever there's a contract, there's a witness who will, if there's a problem, come and testify of what you said you would do. It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth. In other words, it's saying God has shown up, he's made an examination. You leaders, you're not doing what you promised her you would do, and I was a witness to that. And I'm here to enforce what you promised to do. You didn't realize that when you got married, and those of you in the future who may marry, that it's a three-way covenant. You two are making a covenant, and then you got a witness. Can I get a witness, as they say? God is that witness. And it's to God we are accountable to in marriage. You probably said, why is he talking about marriage on Father's Day? Well, I'm a father and I'm married. And most fathers either are married or should be. Amen? All right. I'm a witness between you and your wife because you have broken faith with her. Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit, in body and soul? They are his. Notice, they are his. And why one? Because he is seeking godly offspring. This is where the fatherness comes into it. He is seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit, in your heart, and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. God says, I hate divorce, says the Lord, God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself, trying to cover it up, trying to use reasons why to divorce. And there are legal ways, yes. But he's looking at the spirit. You're covering something up. What's in your heart why you want a divorce? Well, she did this or he did that. But what's the bottom line? You're covering it up. It's a violent thing. Spiritually, emotionally, it is the tearing apart of that which he made one. As well as with your garment. In other words, you're doing some things that are not right undercover. You'd say, I'm an undercover brother. That's the problem. As well as with your garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. It is in your spirit, Father. On this Father's Day, we thank you that you are a faithful Father. You love us recklessly, as we heard that song. You love us unconditionally. On this Father's Day, Father, speak to fathers. We've made a covenant with you as our witness. Teach us today, and we ask it. Open our hearts. Our hearts lay bare to you and before you. You know everything. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Fathers, what is the most important? At least one of them, and I put it at the top. Fathers, what is the most important thing you can do for your children? I want you to think about that for a moment on this Father's Day. What is the most important thing that you can do for your children? Take them to McDonald's, get one of those, you know, legless cow burgers. All right? Buy them every new electronic gadget or pad they may want. I believe that the best thing that a father can do for his children is to love. Love who? Love them? Well, sure you should love your children, but to love your children's mother. To love my children's mother? That's the best thing I could do? I believe it is at the top. You may argue with what's the best. I say one of the best things you can do for your children is to love their mother. And not no mama, baby, mother, daddy, and all that. Mama, baby, how did they say it? Huh? Baby mama. No, your wife. Because you may have baby mamas all spread out. I'm talking about your wife. You need to stop that spreading. That's not a father. That's not a man. Now, some of you say, well, I'm a young man. I'm not married. Well, how does it fit me? Hey, it fits because I hope it will make an impression upon you. I hope it fits because the best thing when you get married is to love your wife, to love the children that will come through your wife, is to love them the way Christ loves us. So that's the message. Fathers, love your children's mother sacrificially like Christ. Notice I put in there sacrificially, because you're not going to want to sometimes. God is not interested in what we want or how we feel. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you that at one time or another, you did not feel like loving your mate, right? So if we went on feelings, nobody would have a perfect record in that way, right? But your children need you, fathers, husbands, your children need you to love their mother. Think about this, children. I'm going to be for real here today. Have you ever either heard or thought your mother and father had a disagreement? Don't raise any hands. Children, how did you feel? Those of you who are adults, like myself, when my parents did not get along, my stomach churned. I was devastated. One of the greatest things that my father could do is to be nice to my mother and to love my mother, because it reflected back in my spirit and soul. Most athletes, when they win the championship, win the game, do they say, oh, here's to my daddy? No, I say, hey, mama, pat the heart to mom. Why don't they say to daddy too? Now, sometimes they do say to dad. Children are more sensitive to what happens to their mother in a marriage. Think about it. I'm not bringing you statistics and quotes about it. I can prove it to you. It's the truth. Accept it. When Malachi, the Lord spoke to Malachi to indict as a witness to the leadership of Israel, he addresses the fathers. You have broken covenant in your spirit. And he said, I am seeking godly seed. I am telling you, as we read earlier. He says, why all of this? Why am I so interested in keeping the covenant? And you being one flesh, verse 15, because he was seeking godly offspring. The godliness of your offspring, their character, their psychological balance, their emotional wellness is largely affected by the marriage relationship. This thing has ripple effects. You ever drop a stone in a pond and watch the waves just go out and out? This has implications not only for your children, but for your children's children, our neighborhoods, our communities, the world. Genesis 2, God created man, male and female, in his image, and God blessed them, and he told them to multiply. He wasn't talking about just having a whole bunch of kids, baby kids and all. Go to Disneyland, tear up Mickey Mouse. No, he did not envision baby kids. He envisioned a godly seed who would reflect his image and his character throughout the world. What I'm talking to you today has global implications. It has implications for the whole kingdom of God. And there's another joke that comes to my mind. God created Adam, created Eve. When did he create Eve? Anybody know the time of day when he created Eve? I'll put it this way. What time of day did God create Adam? A little bit before Eve. Neen. I know they suck. A little bit before Eve. Neen. All right. But he created Adam. So, oh, yeah, he created him first. That's not fair. He gave them value and worth the same. But he created Adam. And when Adam sinned, God didn't blame Eve. He blamed Adam. Because Adam, Father Adam, our great, 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 great grandfather, had an impact. I'm saying this for impact. Had an impact, fathers, on the entirety of the world. God says, in Adam, all sinned. And we're sinners because of our great, great grandfather. Had he loved Eve and stepped in and did what he's supposed to do, who knows? Who knows? Fathers, a lot is put on your shoulders. And I'm not saying you can do all this by yourself. You're going to have to depend on Jesus Christ. You're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit in you to love your children's mother sacrificially like Christ. This is not a seven-step program for a happier marriage and a happier family. No. It's going to take sacrifice. Fathers, you're going to have to be willing to die to yourself. I can admit as a husband, and I see this in a lot of husbands, we're selfish. Right? We're selfish. Now, women are selfish too. Mothers are selfish too. But I'm talking to fathers now. I'm talking to myself. We can be selfish. And we need to repent of that. We need to go to the cross and be willing to sacrifice our desires and our wants and sacrificially love our children's mother. So we can't only just preach the gospel. We've got to live it day in and day out in our families as fathers. Your children catch more than you teach them. You can sit down and teach them all day about love and da-da. They're going to look at, let's see how dad is treating mama. That's the lesson they're going to get. Let's see how kind daddy is. Or does daddy blow up on mama? You blowing up on your kids too. Hello. Ask your kids how they feel when you argue before them with their mother. When you don't value their mother. When you call her names. Ask them how they feel. You say, but I got married to be happy, right? Ladies too, oh, there he is. He's the most handsome young man. And oh, yeah, all these stars, right? And then they become meteorites. What happened to the stars? I didn't expect this meteorite to hit our family. I got boom. I'm married to be happy, right? Guess what? Marriage is not to make you happy. I've counseled people over the years, say, well, I just want to be happy. Don't I have a right to be happy? No. How can you demand a right to be happy? Because nobody can make you happy but God. And you're looking to that person to be happy. I'm talking to fathers. Marriage is not to make you happy. It's to make you holy. Think about that. Marriage is not to make you happy and satisfied. It is to make you holy. It is to conform us. The cross is to conform us into the image of Christ. Call it cruciform. What I want to do, and I can't do it, and I'm upset. What if, I'm going to say it again, I'm just thinking about it. What if God's plan and purpose for you to get married was to make you holy and to put you through an institution called marriage, which you thought was a sausage factory of happiness? You just got ground up. Someone said, sausage making is not beautiful. You ever see sausage made? If you ever saw sausage made or a hot dog made, you never eat another one. That's why you say, you know, don't show me. Let me live on the Nile River. The Nile is not a river in Africa. It's just unpleasant things we don't want to face. I believe that marriage can make you more like Christ than anything else. Right? You'll want out of it. I have not talked to a single, I'm just being straight with y'all. I hope I am bringing your stardust down to earth. I don't know of a single person who can honestly admit, unless they just got married yesterday, that marriage was everything they wanted it to be, and they never had a thought of getting out of it. They've never had a thought of, oh, Lord, what have I done? And they hit themselves upside the head. Bada boom, bada boom. What? Okay. Wake me up, somebody. This is a nightmare. I see y'all laughing. All right. That means y'all can identify with it, right? How many think I'm lying? Maybe you young folks do. And it's good that you come to reality. Marriage is not to make you happy but holy. Because you've got to change to make it. Tell somebody, you got to change to make it. Change. Chain of fools, all these divorces who were fools to get married to think that it's all a bed of roses. And if you think about a bed of roses, when last time you laid in a bed of roses and didn't get all cut up, scratched up, messed up, right? Okay, I'm glad you're getting it. Oh, man. Where should I go, Lord? Where should I go? Listen. Focus, fathers, don't focus on your wife and her flaws. Focus on the commitment you made to God to love her, to cherish her. He's your witness. He's got her back as a witness. Don't focus on her flaws. If you look at your mate long enough, 2 seconds, you will find something you don't like. That's the way it is. You weren't called to focus on her. We were called to focus on God. And out of that focus on God and dependence on Him, then we love our mate. You're not an accountant of her flaws and mistakes. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Have you ever done it? I have. Yep. But why not build a bank account of not deficits, but credits? Why not look at, fathers, why not look at our wives and say, boy, this is wonderful about her. Oh, thank you, God, for that about her. Why not every day just thank God about your mate? God, thank you for blessing me with such a kind and tender person. God, thank you for blessing me with this and that and the other thing in her. God's not only the witness in this covenant that you make. He is her father. We were singing a good, good father, all these father songs today. When was the last time you thought of your wife, husbands, I'm including myself, as your wife's father and God as your father-in-law? You don't want to mess with that father-in-law. You don't want to mess with his daughter. There was one time I was maybe upset with my wife or whatever. You ever been that way? And you don't want to talk to that person? Maybe I'm the only sinner in here. Okay? And maybe I'm busting your bubble. Oh, Mr. Williams is a sinner too? You know what God said to me? Go in there and love my daughter. This was years ago. Go love my daughter. I didn't read it in a book. I wasn't just imagining things. He said, that's my daughter. Go in there and love her. Now, God is a witness of this stuff, but your children are witnesses as well. We can talk about grace and forgiveness, but the gospel has to be seen by them to be believed by them. I'm going to say it. The gospel, again, must be seen by them to be believed by them. Otherwise, they say all this Christianity stuff, all this stuff about grace and forgiveness, it's phony. Because they haven't seen my father live it out. Your children are witnesses to either the crime or the good deed. And the crime is on our parts as fathers, of not loving our children's mother sacrificially when we don't feel like it or don't want to or feel we have justification. Well, she didn't do this, and so I can do that. I'll start loving her when she starts submitting to me and doing this and that and the other thing. Really? What does her father say about it? What does your father-in-law say about it? He said, love her as I've loved you. Did you always please me? No. Son-in-law? Shoot, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have her to marry you. But I realized that I created this so that you both could be holy. It wasn't about your happiness. And as you focus on her good things, you build up a bank account. So that when the deficits are there, you not only can say, okay, God, I forgive you. I said, you know, but you've blessed me with your daughter. I really appreciate it. I got all these. He don't want you talking about her. I said that in a mean way. God's not mean, but he does thunder. He does hold us accountable for what we do with his daughter. See, but she's got faults. And you both have faults. But I call you because it's not just about you, it's them kids. Think about your grandkids. Think about your great, 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 greats that are going to come. See, it's a covenant. And God has in mind when he says covenant, the covenant he made with Abraham. That you and your seed will be blessed. And your seed will be like the stars of heaven or the sand of the sea. Think beyond your pain right now and your displeasure. This is going to affect generations. I've talked to adults. I've counseled with adults. I've read about older married people, married 30, 40 years, and their parents get a divorce. Their father goes for a younger woman. Remember I tell you that joke? This man, 70 years old, said, oh God, if I just could have had a wife who's 20 years younger. You know how these old men go after these young women? These old fathers. He woke up in the morning, looked up over his wife, looked back at himself. When he went to bed, he was 70, now he's 90. Now he's got a wife who's 20 years younger. Some of y'all don't know math, didn't get it. He's called us to be broken together. Broken together.
Think about that. I want to play a song. Why don't you listen to it? Okay, she's got problems, you got problems. What if the only way we could be whole, husbands and wives, is if in seeking the Lord, we are broken together. And we come together before the Lord to be made whole, even in our brokenness. Would you just listen to it? Sometimes music has a way of communicating around words, even in plays. That's why they have musicals. The actors can only say much, and then they, la, 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 la. Okay, la la with me for a while here.
Save us.
and realistic view of marriage. Because every human being is broken. It is only together as we seek the Lord. And as husbands, loving our children's mother sacrificially the way Christ loved us, can it be? So finally, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. It talks and it speaks to the church. I want to relate the church to being the children of the family. And I want to relate Christ to being the husband. And the wife being the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, the body, his body, of which he is the Savior. Husbands, do you see that you're the sacrificial Savior? Not the potentate. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, fathers, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ died on the cross. Are you dying on the cross in your home? It's a crucifixion resurrection. To have the power to love, you've got to die first. Die to self. Die to your preferences. Die to all your hopes and dreams. And then God will resurrect you in power to love your children's mother as Christ loves the church. To redeem her. Husbands, fathers, have you ever had to redeem your wife? Before your children? Or have you rebuked them before your children? You say, how redeemed? She's just messed up. And the kids can sense the tension in the room. And you turn to her. And you look in the eye and you say, that's all right, honey. I love you. Even if it's an injury to you. The tension leaves the room. The children's faces that are in that frown, half circle, change to that happy face. And he started doing the happy dance. That's redemption. And you bestow upon her a hug and a kiss. Oh, what that does to kids. Oh, look at Daddy's kissing Mama. You know, you say, oh, they're embarrassed. No, they're happy. It's even in Christmas songs. Some of you are too young to know the Christmas song. I saw, what? Dad, Mommy kissing Santa Claus, right? You must know that song, young lady. Have y'all ever seen Mama kissing Santa Claus? Santa Claus was not the man next to her, it was Daddy. That does wonders to see Mommy and Daddy holding one another. Wonders for those kids. It restores their soul. It heals the brokenness and the woundedness of their spirit. Daddy is redeeming Mama. He's forgiving Mama. Mama comes in, I just wrecked the car. Instead of Daddy jumping around, what's wrong with you? Take some driver's license. Why do you look? Why do you? Right? Daddy takes Mama in his arms and says, that's all right, honey. Are you all right? It's just a car. You mean more to me than sheet metal? That does wonders. That's redemption. And mommy says, no, I ran a red light. And you keep your cool. And you hug her anyway. And you bestow upon her the righteousness and the sacrificial love that she didn't necessarily earn. And you've justified her. Justification is not only forgiveness, but bestowing righteousness and love on the person and affection. It does wonders. It's more than alphabet soup or vegetable soup for the soul of your children. I'm talking about kids. I'm talking about fathers. And the most important thing you can do for your children. Let's go on. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. Gave up his rights, gave up his revenge, gave up everything to make her holy. Even when she's messed up, cleansing her by the washing of the water of the word and to present her to him self as a radiant church. But she's not radiant. She's overweight. She's unbathed. Cleansed. Accepted just as she is. Not how you want her to be. But you're giving her imputed righteousness. That's what God gives us. His bride. We're Jesus' bride. You're to treat her as Jesus treats us. And oh, it blesses the kids. Bless your children, fathers. Treat her without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. But holy and blameless. In the same way husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. It's not only for your kids. You'll be much happier if you love her in her sin. Because you've given your life for her. You said, okay, I will die for your sins. I will suffer whatever discomfort. See, forgiveness is more than, okay, that's all right. Now, I'm willing to take the PR penalty for the wrong you've done. Husbands, you can't do that on your own. It's going to have to be Jesus in you. But you're going to have to say, okay, put me on the cross. Not just take me to the cross. When you're saying that, oh, take me to the cross. You know, come to that. Oh, you get on that cross. And sacrifice all your hopes and dreams, all your preferences, all your wants, all of it. For the sake of your wife, but more than that, your children. See, Daddy really did believe in Jesus. Daddy really did believe in the gospel. We fall so short. And children, forgive us. I, as a father and as a husband, did not always love my wife as Christ loves the church. And it hurt my kids. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Let us love, which is the greatest gift of all. You can bring all kinds of flowers. You can take the wife off to dinner. You can buy her some new shoes and a dress. But the greatest of these is love. Love her. And let your children see it. In the book of Hebrews, I won't turn there. But I see Jesus as that husband. And he stands before the Father. You know what he says in Hebrews? I didn't write the scripture down. He says to the Father, here I am. And the children you've given me. I have loved their mother, the church. And the fruit is the godly seed that you said in covenant back in Malachi that you sought. Here I am. And the children that you have given me. Father, our Father. All fathers, come here. Every father, come here. Every father, come. I didn't plan to do this, but that's all right. Every father. Father in heaven, we as fathers come to the altar here before the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, and we confess our failures. And we agree with you in this confession of how you say we ought to be. But we can't do it. We can't just buck up, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and do this. This has to be a change of our hearts. Change our hearts, oh God. And forgive us. And empower us. Holy Spirit, you empowered Jesus. Please empower us to love our children by loving our wives. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your cleansing. And we ask you to do this through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And in faith, ask God to strengthen us through the body and the blood of the one who was the perfect husband who loved his wife and made her ready. In Matthew 26, verse 26 of 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He said, "Take and eat, this is my body." When I think about how in marriage the two become one, and he says, "Take and eat, this is my body," that we are part of that body. We are not only the children, we also the wife, in God's analogy here. In verse 27, then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant." We talked about the covenant and the witness. The covenant is made not only between husband and wife, but it's God there as the witness. And he speaks of the new covenant where there is forgiveness of sins and where the bride is made holy and cleansed and accepted. In the book of Revelation, it speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says she's arrayed in white. And in a wedding ceremony, the white is descriptive and a type of cleanliness and holiness. None of us are. We're all sinners. But yet he adorns us in white. And he looks at us who are sinners, as holy and righteous and pure, as virgins. Goes on to say, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He says, "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And this refers to Revelation 19:9. When it is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then he will partake of the bread and the wine with us and what it means. And it's going to be a glorious time. And we have the reality and the type of it now. But there's going to be a Lord's Supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, like you've never seen or experienced. And when we will realize as a reality, even as it is now, God declares us holy and righteous and pure. It will be that way in a way that your and my mind that's fallen, and we think of all of our shame and all the things we've done, yet God even now looks at you as holy and pure and righteous. We won't have that accusing heart and mind anymore, and we'll be able to experience the love of our husband as he sees us and as we are in reality. Let us now prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the truth. Jesus is the truth. Father, oh our Father, we ask you to bless the bread and the wine that we experience, that we are very part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. As we drink the wine, help us to experience the spiritual reality that we are cleansed, that we are the perfect, holy, virgin, cleansed, righteous bride of Christ. Let us reject any thoughts of the enemy or you know you're. Yes, we are. We are what the Lord has said we are. Thank you, Father, for the glory that has been bestowed upon us through our husband, Jesus Christ. Amen.
There's a stirring in the throne room, and all creation holds its breath, waiting now to see the bridegroom, wondering how the bride will dress, and she wears white. She bears the shame of history, but this worn and weary maiden is not the bride that we see. She wears white, head to toe. Someone dries your tears, when someone wins your heart and says you're beautiful, when you know you are, when all you long to see is written on his face. Love has come and finally set you free on that wedding day. Crawl through beggar's dust, but today.